أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Verse number 197. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. الحج أشهر معلومات، فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج وما تفعلوا من خير يعلمه الله وتزودوا فإن خير الزاد التقوى واتقون يا أولي الألباب. The Hajj is in months well known, so whoever decides on Hajj therein should know that there is to be no sexual contact, vicious talk, or disputing during the Hajj. And whatever good you do, Allah knows it, and take provision, for indeed the best provision is God-wariness. So be wary of me, all you who possess intellects. This is continuation of the previous verse about the rulings of Hajj that we discussed last week. Now here, it defines the time in which Hajj is acceptable. Al-Hajju ashhurun ma'lumat. It means Al-Hajju waqtuhu. The time of Hajj are in known months, which are Shawwal, Dhul-Qa'da, and the 10 days of Dhul-Hajjah. These are the months of Hajj. And of course, because it's 2 months and 10 days, it could be called months in plural rather than in dual. Although some scholars say that the whole 3 months are regarded as Ashhurul Hajj, because there are certain acts that we do after the 10th of Zulhijjah, so we can say that the whole Zulhijjah is the month of Hajj. But the overwhelming view of Shia scholars is that the Ashhurul Hajj are Shawwal, Dhul-Qa'dah, and Zulhijjah. What does that mean? It means that you cannot perform Hajj outside these. You cannot put ihram. You cannot put ihram outside this month for Hajj. You can put ihram of umrah anytime. You can do umrah mufrada anytime in the year, but if you want to do Hajj, it should be the beginning of Shawwal before you can put ihram on for Hajj. Of course, we don't do it nowadays. In old days, because people would have come from long distances, they may have put ihram for Hajj earlier and stayed in ihram for longer time. When we go to Hajj, we can put ihram anytime that we are there for Hajj. After we perform our umrah, after we come out of the ihram, then we can put ihram for Hajj anytime. But usually we put it on 8th of Dhul-Hajjah, the day when we want to move out to Arafat. So it's only in these months that Hajj could be performed. Now, ma'lumat is known months. It means you cannot change it. In old days, as we discussed in Surah Nisa, sometimes they changed the month of Hajj because they wanted to continue fighting in Dhul-Qa'dah and Dhul-Hajjah, which was called nasi, transposition of the months. For example, they said, okay, this month we fight in Dhul-Qa'dah and Dhul-Hajjah, and then we don't fight in other months later on. And Allah says that this cannot be moved, cannot be transposed. So, Al-Hajju Ashhurun Ma'lumat. فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجِّ فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. مَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجِّ means مَنْ فَرَضَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ. Whoever makes Hajj obligatory on themselves in these months by putting on ihram. Of course, once in lifetime, Hajj is wajib for us, but unless we put on ihram, we don't need to perform the amal of Hajj. We may not want to go from ma'asi or whatever. But even for mustahab Hajj, when we go for mustahab Hajj, as soon as we put on ihram, we have made Hajj wajib for ourselves. We have to continue until the end. So, فَمَنْ فَرَضَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجِّ. Whoever makes it compulsory among himself in these months to perform Hajj, فَلَا رَفَثَ ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج. Now these are very technical terms because it deals with the regulations of Hajj. There are three things that Allah mentions here that cannot be done during Hajj: rafath, fusuq, and jadal. Rafath is usually clear among all the scholars, that's sexual relations. It is not permissible, whether marrying, proposing, relation, whatever, between wife and husband, it is not permissible. Wala fusuq. There is a disagreement about what the meaning of fusuq is. In Shia fiqh, it's clearly mentioned by A'imma alayhimus salam, fusuq includes three things. One is lying, the other is swearing at other people, and the third one is to boast arrogantly in a way that humiliates other people. These are the three things. However, the exegesis since all days, they have discussed this, what is included in fusuq, what is not included in fusuq. I mentioned a couple of them here. So, from Ibn Abbas and Hassan al-Basri and Qatada, it is mentioned that it is any sin. Any sin is not acceptable in Hajj. Now, lying is a sin, boasting to humiliate others is a sin, and swearing at others is a sin. The question comes, these are haram all the time. We are talking about what is haram for the muhrim, that after it comes from ihram, it should be halal. So why Allah mentions here la fusuq, and fusuq is haram all the time? Now the answer is, as here Hassan al-Basri and others say, it's all sins, which fusuq include all sins, including lying. The answer is that Allah is actually telling us you are in a state of sanctity. You are in a holy place. You look, watch over yourself about the sins. So you have to pay double attention to whatever you do. Your taqwa should increase when you come to Hajj. And in Majmu' al-Bayan, he says that, answers the question, that's how is it possible that we make something which is haram all the time, whether we are muhram or not muhram, haram again in ihram. As he said, la rafatha wa la fusuq fil hajj. You should not do fusuq in hajj, and fusuq is sin anyhow. So he says that it is because of the importance of the occasion. In fact, Allah is emphasizing that when you are in hajj, it does not deserve to behave the way you behave outside Hajj. Sometimes you sin, sometimes you make mistakes. And he says that, for example, we have in common saying that when you fast, you have to watch over your tongue. Well, we have to always watch over our tongue, not lie, not swear. But when we are fasting, it becomes even more important. Or in hadith, we have very famous hadith, although we have heard, إِذَا سُمْتَ فَلْيَسُمْ سَمْعُكْ وَبَصَرُكْ وَلَا يَكُونْ يَوْمُ صَوْمِكْ كَيَوْمِ إِفْطَارِكْ. When you fast, your eye should fast, your ear should fast, and your day of fast should not be like any other day of the year. Of course, all the time our eyes and our ears should be fasting, in the sense that we should avoid sins committed by eyes and ears. However, when you fast, then you have to know that this is a different ambience, a different position. And Hajj is the same thing. When you are in Hajj, you have to recognize that this is not an ordinary place. You have come to visit the place where Ibrahim alayhi salam was setting foot. You are come to see where the house of Allah is. So you have to watch over yourself. So wala fusuq, fusuq is always not permissible, but in Hajj you have to pay extra attention. And so rafath is clear, fusuq is clear. What is jadal? Wala jadal fil hajj. Jadal is argument, usually. Now some may say that jadal is fighting and such thing. Fighting is haram in shahrul haram anyhow. But jadal here, to give it a very clear cut definition, the fuqaha have, you know, this is the duty of fiqh, to always give very clear definitions so that we know what is haram, what is halal. Although morality is different from fiqh, moral values and moral behavior is different from fiqhi behavior. In fiqhi behavior, we just do the minimum. We just want to know what is right, what is wrong, based on our rights, Allah's rights, people's rights. But of course, morality demands us more than that. Here in Hajj, of course, they say, what kind of argument? When we say argument is haram in Hajj, jadal, they say to insist on your opinion by la wallah, bala wallah. Even if you are rightful, if you are truthful, you shouldn't say this. You shouldn't say la wallah. You shouldn't say bala wallah. You shouldn't swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which makes a sort of argumentative position between you and others. So it's clear now, wala fala rafatha, wala fusuqa, wala jadala fil hajj. وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ يَعْلَمُهُ اللَّهُ And whatever good you do, Allah knows it. Now, here it is an implicit demand. Do good in Hajj. Do not do rafas or fusuq or jadal, but try to give charity, try to help others, try to be as good as a person can be in life. Try to practice it in Hajj. And whatever you do, وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ يَعْلَمُهُ اللَّهُ Allah knows it. Now, this يَعْلَمُهُ اللَّهُ, instead of يُجَازِيهِ اللَّهُ, Allah would reward it, says Allah knows it, implying again, it's a very beautiful sentence, implying again that, don't you know that Allah rewards everything? Don't you know that Allah is just? Don't you know that Allah is benevolent? So as soon as Allah knows something, you have to take it for granted that he would reward it. He would multiply the reward for you. فَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ يَعْلَمْهُ اللَّهُ Now, Sheikh Tabrasi in Majmu' al-Bayan brings up a very interesting issue. He says that, of course, Allah always knows whether we do things or do not do things beforehand. He knows it. Why it says, وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ يَعْلَمُهُ اللَّهُ Whatever good you do, Allah knows it. He says that because actions should be realized to be rewarded. And Allah is mentioning, although in the knowledge of Allah, he knows who does what, but the action should be performed to receive the reward, to receive the result of whether the consequences, the bad effects or good effects, is the actions that when happen, it should be regarded as completed. Before action, nothing is, of course, considered. وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ يَعْلَمُهُ وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى And take provision. It's very interesting that this verse, which is very general for the whole lifetime of a person, take provision, and the best provision for you is taqwa, is mentioned in the context of Hajj. And that means that when you go to Hajj, you are actually gathering and collecting lots of provision for your akhirah. Whatever you do in Hajj is not comparable with what you do outside Hajj, with what you do in when you are not in ihram or in the state of Hajj. Also, in other verses of the Quran, the taqwa is always mentioned in Hajj. For example, when we offer qurbani, Allah says, لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومَهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ تَقْوَى مِنْكُمْ The flesh and the blood of these animals do not reach Allah. What reaches Allah is your taqwa. So taqwa, especially in the state of Hajj, the verses are telling us that you have to recognize, you have to be attentive to in what place, in what position you are in Hajj. You can gather lots of provision for yourself for the hereafter while you are in Hajj. However, there is another meaning given to this, which is very strange, actually. And some exegetes have actually opted only for this meaning. In Tafsir al-Jalalain Suyuti, rahmatullah alayhi, he says that this is a verse revealed about Ahlul Yaman. And Ahlul Yaman, what they did, not all of them, of course, many of them, you know, sometimes we become overzealous or overpious, and we want to show our tawakkul to Allah, I don't want to depend on anything. What these people did, they were very zealous in faith before Islam, but we are talking before Islam, isn't it? When they came and worshipped idols, actually, and they had their own very strict sort of piety regarding to this idols, they said that we want to rely only on the idols that provide for us. We don't want to rely on ourselves. So what they did, they moved out of their homes without any provision, without money, without food, without anything, and they set out and said someone would actually provide for us on the way. I know some of the ulama, when they wanted to go to Mashhad, I don't want to name them, but when they wanted to go to Mashhad, just walked off of Tehran on the road and said, someone will take us. And actually they took them because it was a very respectable alim. This was different, of course. But for these people, they actually put their burden on others, isn't it? If a large group of people come out of Yemen going to Hajj without any provision, they put their burden on other people. She says, in Tafsir al-Jalalain, says, watazawwadu is actually talking to those people. Take provision for your Hajj journey. فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. So what does that mean? They take provision. إِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. He says, this is not taqwa Allah. This is what you protect yourself in the journey with it. With it. Taqwa or ma yuttaqa. Behi su'alun nas, that you protect yourself against asking people for your provision. This may have been the case, of course. It should have been the case since it's mentioned in history, but it doesn't actually go very well in the context here that Allah is giving general rulings for Hajj and then addresses people of Yemen that when you want to go to Hajj, take provision for yourself. So in Majmu' al-Bayan, the meaning is given. He mentions this meaning. He said this is, of course, mentioned from Hassan al-Basri and Qatada and Mujahid. But the ma'na, the real meaning of it is تَزَوَّدُوا مِنَ الْأَعْمَالِ الصَّالِحَةِ. Collect, take provision from good acts. فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ ذَاتَ التَّقْوَى. What is the best provision? The best provision is an act which is done by taqwa. The more the taqwa, the more the value, the less the taqwa, the less the value. And do this while you are in Hajj, because then it doubles the reward. لَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ, verse number 198, لَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ أَن تَبْتَغُوا فَضْلًا مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَإِذَا أَفَضْتُمْ مِنْ عَرَفَاتٍ فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ عِنْدَ الْمَشْعَرِ الْحَرَامِ وَاذْكُرُوهُ كَمَا هَدَاكُمْ وَإِنْ كُنْتُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ لَمِنَ الظَّالِّينَ. There is no sin upon you in seeking your Lord's grace during the Hajj season. Then when you stream out of Arafat, remember Allah at the holy Mash'ar, and remember Him as He has guided you, and earlier you were indeed among the astray. Now these rulings are given in some cases, it is abrogating certain aspects of Hajj which were performed by the mushrikeen before Islam. And in certain cases, it confirms it. The mushrikeen had very strict rulings of Hajj because they regarded this as the holiest act that they performed and as a heritage from Ibrahim, their ancestor. And of course, they had mixed it with idolatry and other things. And some of them were called homs, zealous. They were overzealous about Hajj. Like some of us, when we go to Hajj, we are overzealous in Hajj. We don't want to pay attention to anything but to worship. It's very good, but of course we have to consider others as well. We don't want to just pay attention to Hajj and let other people do whatever is needed for us. Yeah, some of the mushrikun who were called Homs, they regarded any business in Hajj haram. You should not do any business. And there were people who actually hired things. There were people who were employed to do things like servicemen that we take with ourselves to Hajj. They said the Hajj of these people are not acceptable, so they did not allow them to perform Hajj, to put ihram for Hajj. They said your Hajj is not permissible because you are actually doing business here. You are not here for ibadah of the idols. Now, Allah is somehow putting some moderation on this for Muslims, that you do not be like that. You look after your akhirah, you can look after your dunya as well when you are in Hajj, and you can actually come here, put on ihram while you are working for others or while you are hiring things to other people. So, لَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاهٌ أَن تَبْتَغُوا فَضْلًا مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. As Majmu al-Bayan mentions, قِيلَ كَانُوا يَتَأَثَّمُونَ بِالتَّجَارَةِ فِي الْحَجِ. They regarded a sin to do hijara. And fadl, in many places of the Quran, fadl means the khair in dunya. Whatever Allah has provided for us in this dunya is fadl. And of course, spirituality is fadl, guidance is fadl. Here, it means that. However, in a hadith from Imam Al-Baghir alayhi salam, we have that la junaha alaykum an tatlubu al-maghfirata min rabbikum. There is no harm on you to seek maghfira during the season of Hajj. Now, this is of course true. Maghfira is also a fazl. It is a deeper meaning of the verse given by Imam Al-Baghir alayhi salam, saying that do not think only about fazl to be related to dunya. Fadl is maghfira of Allah as well. However, because he said there is no sin on you to ask fadl from your Lord, it means that there was a sort of concern that doing this act is a sin, which goes back to business and tijara and such things. So, لَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاهٌ أَن تَبْتَغُوا فَضْلًا مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Then some particular acts are mentioned. You know, the first act of Hajj after Ihram is going to Arafat, isn't it? The first act of Hajj after putting Ihram is going to Arafat. And now it mentions from Arafat onwards. فَإِذَا أَفَضْتُمْ مِنْ عَرَفَاتٍ فَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ عِنْدَ الْمَشْعَرِ الْحَرَامِ. So it means that you stay in Arafat, and after you move out from Arafat, you remember God in Mash'ar al-Haram, means that you stay there for a while, remembering Allah, remembering His bounties, and then move out to Mina. So, فَإِذَا أَفَضْتُمْ مِنْ عَرَفَاتٍ فَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ عِنْدَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. Sheikh Tusi gives three possibilities for meaning of Arafat. He says that Arafat is called Arafat for three possible meanings. First of all is that when Ibrahim was told to perform Hajj, well, he didn't know any of these places, where is Mina, where is Arafat, where is Mash'ar. It was actually described for him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Ibrahim did not belong to this land, isn't it? Ibrahim belonged to Palestine, used to come from Palestine here. He did not know the area very well. He says that when Allah described where he should go for Arafat, he recognized it. What his word exactly is, لِأَنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ عَرَفَهَا بِمَا تَقَدَّمَ لَهُ مِنْ نَعْتِلْهَا. When Ibrahim arrived there, because Allah had described the land for him, he recognized it. So that's why it's called Arafat. The second meaning he says is that because Adam and Hawa, after being relegated from heaven, they met in Arafat because they had lost each other. When they came down from garden, they had lost each other. They met in Arafat. فَتَعَارَفَ بَعْدَ أَنْ كَانَ افْتَرَقَ. So they knew each other after they had splitted. This is why it's called Arafat. This is very improbable, of course. It should be something to do with with the either with Ibrahim or with a place of Irfan or something like that. The third meaning he gives is that he says that because Arafat is a high land, لَأُلَوِّهِ because of its elevation from other parts of the land, it is called Arafat. So فَإِذَا أَفَضْتُمْ مِنْ أَرَفَاتٍ بَعْدَ الْوُغُوفِ بِهَا, of course, after you have done your wuguf in Arafat, فَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ عِنْدَ الْمَشْعَرِ الْحَرَامِ. Now, this فَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ عِنْدَ الْمَشْعَرِ الْحَرَامِ, again, in fact, we have to have a clear definition for it. And the clear definition is that you have to stay there, do wuguf there, from Fajr to sunrise. Of course, we move out to after Maghrib from Arafat, we go to Mash'ar. It is good to pray in Mash'ar rather than praying in Arafat, as the Prophet, peace be upon him, did. Well, of course, we don't do it. The Sunnis do it usually. They don't pray in Arafat. And they move out after Maghrib to Mash'ar. They arrive there 10, 11, something like that. And then they perform the Salat, Maghrib, and Isha there. We are a bit concerned about arriving late, whether we catch our Salat or not. And then we just do our Salat in Arafat and move out. Anyhow, the istihbab is that we postpone Salatul Maghrib and Isha to Mash'arul Haram, which is, in a sense, an instance of Fadhkurullah indal Mash'arul Haram. Remember Allah in Mash'arul Haram by your Maghrib and Isha prayer. So Fadhkurullah indal Mash'arul Haram. And Mash'arul Haram, Mash'ar was a mountain and still is a mountain at the end of Muzdalifah. And Prophet used to stay there until sunrise, and after sunrise he moved to Mina. وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَمَا هَدَاكُمْ هَدَاكُمْ لَمَعَالِمِ دِينِهِ. He's actually teaching you your sharia, your obligations, and also teaching you guidance from him, putting faith in your heart, such things. Now, here, kaf may have two implications. وَذْكُرُهُ كَمَا, like, or because. It may be causal, كَمَا هَدَاكُمْ, remember him because he has guided you. Or a better meaning may be not taking this kaf to be causal, taking it as commensurate, as in the same way as he has guided you, saying that the guidance is the greatest grace from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First of all, the guidance that he puts in your heart, and secondly, because this guidance which is put in our heart, as we call it faith, it is raw. It doesn't have any shape. We don't know what to do with it. Okay, we believe in God, we like God, we love God. What to do now? We don't know what to do with it. And then the guidance after that is by sending the book, sending the prophet. So remember him. A remembrance which is commensurate to the blessing of guidance, which is the greatest blessing. This is what usually Shia exegetes have mentioned, and Majmu'ul Bayan has said, that this kaf is not for ta'lil, is not for causality. It is for a commensurate nature of the dhikr. وَذْكُرُوهُ كَمَا حَدَاكُمْ. He says that for a small ni'mah, of course, the shukr would not be quite much. But for a big ni'mah, which cannot be even envisaged and imagined, then of course the shukr and dhikr of Allah should be huge. وَإِن كُنْتُم مِّن قَبْلِهِ لَمِنَ الظَّالِينَ. As before you were unguided with regards to your hajj. This is of course an address to mushrikun. They had lots of confusions about hajj. As we mentioned, they did not do business in Hajj, for example. And later on we mentioned they did not go to Arafat. Some of them, they did not go to Arafat. They moved from, they came to Mash'ar and moved out from Mash'ar. And many other things, removing idols from Kaaba, worshipping only Allah, doing Hajj only for Allah, not for the idols. وإن كنتم من قبله لمن ضالين. ثم أفيضوا من حيث أفاض الناس. There's a discussion here. Inshallah, we discuss it next week. وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
Thank you much indeed, Sheikh. So you have about 15-20 minutes to clarify any points of further discussion. Any sisters, brothers? Oh, Riaz.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Pretty simple stuff, isn't it? It's quite obvious, but it's interesting where it says that when you talked about Yemen and people going there, and you have spoken before about the pagan rituals where they used to be going around naked and stuff like that. So it seems like it's aimed at a lot of different things and practices to be centralized. What interests me is when it says that you should pray and pray. Whatever the regulations are, people are coming there, getting together for a purpose. Can we talk a little bit more about the purpose? Because we did say last time, or we're talking about trying to limit the damage to the goats and the sheep. We're trying to somehow integrate Hajj into the modern age. Yeah. So it begs the question, what was the reasoning? I understand we can't get to the bottom of it, but maybe the exegetes have talked about the reason that God has called for Hajj once a year. Is there anything
particular?
Once in a lifetime. Once in a lifetime, excuse me. Yes.
Don't make it difficult.
That's once in a lifetime. Thank you.
Actually, someone asked the Prophet, should we perform Hajj every year or once a year? And Prophet did not answer. And then the verse was revealed, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la tas'alu an ashiya in tubda lakum tasu'ukum. Do not ask about things that if it is revealed to you, it wouldn't be pleasant for you. So, not every year. You know, first of all, one of the main purposes that Allah mentioned is that you go and pray where Ibrahim alayhi salam stepped. That's وَاتَّخِذُوا مَنْ مَغَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُسَلَّى. It seems that this great holy person has an eternal effect on the faithful of, especially in Islam, of course, an eternal effect, and we go there. And then the philosophy of Tawaf and other things are a bit clear. But going to Arafat, going to Mina, going to Mash'ar, stoning the shaitan may not be clear. That's why the question came even at the time of Imam alayhi wasalam. You say that you make it contemporary. Yes. But even at that time it came. That what's the purpose of this thing? What's the purpose of stoning these jamarat, for example? And one of the answers that Imam gave, and probably because we cannot understand the real philosophy behind these things, what benefit they give us, they said that Hajj is the materialization of ta'abbut, that you have to follow even when you don't know why. Even when you don't know why, you have to do it. And this shows you actually trust Allah, trust the Quran, trust the Prophet. So in one sense, it's actually a test of our trust and ta'abbut. That we trust and we do, although we don't know. Now, Allah says, in these there are benefits. لَيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُ. You come and you actually will be present for some of the benefits which are ready for you. We may not know, even at the time of Aima, they were asked why, and they said, it's only ta'abbud. Just do it for ta'abbud. We follow them, inshallah.
Thank you. Any sisters? Yeah.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. In the Quran, they also the ayat where it says the fadlan min Allah wa ni'ma. What's the difference, and is it referring to this word or the next one? You know,
we have to see the context. We have to see the context of
Surah Hujurat.
We have to see the context of every instance when fadl is mentioned. Now in Surah Hujurat, it is about people who have faith in their hearts. and the fusuq and isyan is made unpleasant for them. And then he said, this is fadlan min Allah wa ni'mah. Now, this fadl is different from the fadl that is mentioned here, seeking business and such things. Or for example, هو الذي يسيركم في البحر وبحر لتبتغوا من فضله. You travel on the sea to seek his fadl. That's, again, the provision for the world. But in this one, fadl is grace. Now, grace may be physical, material, related to this world, our provisions, related to the next world. In that verse in Surah Hujurat, of course, it is that sort of urge that Allah puts in the heart of the believers. They don't like sin. They don't like worldly matters. They like to go towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As it says, what's the verse? It says that حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. He made faith lovable for you and adorn it in your heart. Whatever, when you hear about iman, when you see faithful people, you actually attracted to them. وَكَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْإِسْيَانِ أُولَٰئِكُمُ الرَّاشِدُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَنِعْمَةً. This fadl is of course very, this is a grace, this is spiritual grace that Allah gives. Now, ni'mah is, as I understand, is not very different from fadl. It may be that here fadl is the grace spiritually which is given to you, and ni'mah is that it is for your community. It is for your community that you live in this sort of spiritual and peaceful situation.
Thank you. Reza?
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Sheikh,
the verse about remembrance mentioned specifically here in Mash'ar. But you know, when we go to Arafah, we also are remembering God as well. Is there a specific discussion as to why Allah has just mentioned the remembrance in Mash'ar and not in Arafah as well? Or is there another reason to be in Arafah for?
No, you know, in Arafat, the sort of solid ruling is that you have to be there only. Even if you don't mention Allah, don't do any zikr, we have to stay there from Zuhr to Maghrib. This is the wuquf in Arafat. However, of course, it's recommended to do all these du'as and such things. But in Mash'ar al-Haram, we perform two salat, isn't it? One Maghrib and Isha, which is Mustab, and Salatul Fajr. And this is remembrance of Allah there. So probably what Fadhkurullah and Al-Mash'ar al-Haram may refer to Salatul Fajr that we do there in Mash'ar al-Haram.
Thank you. Any sisters? Sisters, no?
We actually underestimate the Salat that we perform. This is a very, very great thing. And this is the greatest dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
No, sisters? No? Manzu?
Assalamu alaikum. You know, you mentioned that in Hajj we need to refrain from three different things, and one of the things you mentioned is jidal, and you explained it as getting into the arguments, and even when you are right, not to insist on that.
Yeah.
One of the functions or one of the work you do there is that people coming from different parts of the world, and you meet with them, and you understand their problems and their situations, one would get into some sort of an argument and discussions.
Well, you shouldn't.
So how...
So actually, it defies the whole purpose, yeah, isn't it? If you get to argument and discussion, then the hatred would increase.
Yeah,
we want friendship to increase, isn't it?
This is my question. How do you tackle these situations and how do you go about it? And if we go back a few years, the situation we had when there was all the firing and this sort of things, that came to that stage.
Yeah.
So how do we reconcile these sort of situations and how do we take our ideas?
As I said,
ideas?
You know, fiqh is very clear-cut. They say, don't say la wala bala wala, okay? Very clear-cut. And that is in verbal arguments, isn't it? What happened in Hajj was a demonstration against kuffar. We have bara'a in Surah Bara'a that's in Hajj, Adhanun min Allah wa Rasulihi ila al-Nasi yawm al-Hajj al-Akbar, anna Allah bari'un min al-Mushrikeen. This came in Hajj as well. So that bara'at is something different. They resort to these verses for demonstration against, say, for example, mushrikeen or kuffar, America or whatever, that we have to also do bara'at from them. And they do not regard it as jadal, an argument, which is between Muslimin saying la wallah, bala wallah. Of course, it ended in killing each other, isn't it?
Any sisters? No sisters. Brother, number four.
Sheikh, thanks for your talk. There's a clear tendency for humans to make haram things that Allah hasn't made haram. In Mecca now, there's a lot of building, a lot of commercialization. Is there any fiqhi reason why this is wrong? Is there any reason why you can't have lots of McDonald's around the haram?
Well, there are rational reasons why you shouldn't have McDonald's there rather than fiqhi. No, of course, we cannot say that this is haram. You can't say having buildings and hotels and such things is haram there. Yes, of course, the point is that the Muslim Ummah should know their enemies and, of course, should know how penetration starts. And this is why some people are against having McDonald's and other things in Muslim countries.
Thank you. Any sisters? No? Niza?
I just want to make a general statement for the benefit of everybody that, yes, indeed, Hajj is an event and an experience that may Allah grant an experience to everybody sitting here, if anybody has not been yet. But it is so important to prepare well for it, from my experience. On one side, there are various, facilitators or groups with whom you join up to try and go there. But to have your mindset right from the beginning, to make sure that you maximize your time there, along all the lines that you have said, not only ibadah but helping others. This is so important because I have seen repeatedly people get into petty things like the hotel and the location of the hotel and the food and the quality of the tent and all that. That really is so distracting that you miss the important bits. So getting the mindset, preparation for it, finding out what you want, and then choosing the right tour group, very important, I think, if you want to maximize the benefit of it.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Sisters, any sisters? No? Brother? Yeah, yes.
To follow on to what he just said, and the commercialization. I have met people who say that everything that you pay for in terms of Hajj goes not towards any improvement in the Muslim diaspora. So is there a reason that you might go for Hajj that one time in your life as a wajib, and then you would not want to go because of the sheer, can I say in brackets, waste of money, bracket close?
Why waste of money? We would perform Hajj with that money.
Well, you can help a lot of people.
You mean those
with
who
that
take
money.
The money, those who are actually enriched by the money?
Yeah, the McDonald's, yes. I mean, we're not helping chilo kebab shops, we're helping McDonald's to make money.
Oh, yeah, that's a different issue, of course. Well, you can go to Hajj and not go to McDonald's. I guess you go to McDonald's all the time. Yeah. No, I don't think we have to look at Hajj in this very commercial way. Hajj is a very important worship. And as Amirul Mu'mineen says, Allah, Allah, bayt rabbikum. I swear you by Allah that you pay attention to the house of Lord. Do not let it to be empty. You have to actually, all the time it should be crowded. And now the money, you know, the administration of Mecca all the time mostly have been in hand of oppressors and wrong rulers in the time of A'imah, but they did not stop going to Hajj. And I think we have to differentiate between two things. One is that, yes, of course, we should not support and promote the wrong authorities. On the other hand, we have to somehow balance this with the importance of Hajj. It doesn't matter. I mean, the money that, the revenue that Saudis have for Hajj compared to what they have from oil, I think is very little, not considerable. And you may actually question Allah, why you provide them with such an oil to be able to do such an injustice? So I think we have to somehow separate between that side and the spiritual side of Hajj. This house does not belong to anyone. Mecca, Medina do not belong to anyone. Someone may actually usurp and take these money, but that's their problem with Allah. It belongs to Muslimun and the Ummah, and they have to go there all the time.
Thank you. Any sisters? Any other brother? Yeah. Can you pass the mic to Riaz? Oh, Riaz.
Alaykum as-salam. Sheikh, in addition to what we spoke about in terms of the commercialization of the Holy Sanctuary, I think we need to actually take a step back and look at the moral implications of what's happening there. To make the development that there is, you know, there is a destruction of the historical sites, which is something that we have to bear in mind. There is also the promotion of inequality. The people who have saved for their whole lives to make that one trip, which is wajib on them, usually very elderly, usually from developing countries, they are now excluded when they go to Hajj because they can only afford accommodation very far away. So after having done everything they could possibly do and worked hard all their lives, you know, for them to even visit the Holy Mosque once in a day is a significant distress to them. So these are all the sorts of things that we should bear in mind. It's not just the pure commercialism, which is neither here nor there, but it's the question of inequality that we should all bear in mind and try to address that as best as we can.
Yeah, that's a very important question issue, and that's why many people urge that Mecca and Medina should be governed not by the authorities of the Saudi country, that country. It should be something which should be administered by all Muslims, so that they would cater for all these things. It's very important. And now, nowadays, if you go to Mashhad, I don't know whether you have noticed or not, there is place for Zobar to stay overnight if they come and they don't find a hotel, very close to Haram. For the ladies with children, there's a place space there close to Haram again, and they are trying to somehow give accommodation just around the Haram for the poor, free of charge, for 2-3 days. I think these are the things that we have to do in Mecca and Medina as well. It's very important. As you say, the very posh hotels and good things are for the rich, with little spirituality who come there just to enjoy, and then, of course, perform the Hajj as well, and the poor are excluded. These are the issues that we have to address, certainly.
Thank you. Any sisters? Any brothers? Any
brothers? Yeah. Sorry, Sheikh, just to add, there's also a discussion between the youth these days that comparing Umrah to going for Ziyarah, and the general thought is that we would not support going to that regime and actually going for more Ziyarah trips to Iraq and Iran. What's your opinion on that, or for Umrah and Mustahab?
Umrah is wajib once in lifetime, like Hajj. Okay, and because we do Hajj al-Tamattu, we do both of them together, isn't it? So I think we have to leave the people to choose for themselves and to justify things for themselves. Some people may see it not as a support for an oppressive regime. Some people may see it like that. The sawab of Ziyarah is not less than sawab of Umrah, of course, especially the sawab of Ziyarah of Imam Hussein, Imam Reza alayhi salam. So people can choose and decide for themselves.
Thank you. Sisters? Sir Franz?
You were mentioning a while back that in Hajj, in previous days, I'm not sure if it's before Rasulullah removed the idols or after, that between Safa and Marwa, it must have been after, between Safa and Marwa, there were market stalls. People were buying things, selling things, stopping, having a drink, yeah. And this is not there now. And I didn't get from that conversation, was that a good thing or a bad thing? Because it seems to me today Hajj is very sanitized, and yes. there's very little community or festival yes. atmosphere, which yes. there should be amongst Mu'minin.
That's right. That's... Well, you know, Safa and Marwa was just passing through a market until 60, 70 years ago. And that's why in fiqh we have that when you reach the market of the perfume sellers at Taran, you pass quickly because you are in Hajj, you shouldn't smell. So they had their business there as well. And then I think what has led partially to this situation is the crowd. I mean, the crowd is increasingly getting more and more, and there is a need for expansion all the time. And we cannot say that it was a bad thing to remove all those markers, but to let the Hujjaj to have easier Hajj, rather than people wanting to pass through Safa and Marwa to do their Amal, and then some people are standing there haggling that we to get something cheaper or less expensive. So we have to have also a historical perspective as well to see how this has been performed historically, and not be very out of context of the whole situation as it has been in the past.
Thank you. Any sisters now? Or any brother? No? Seems okay. Muhammad Wali, Muhammad Salwa. Thank you. We continue next Sunday, inshallah.